Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for tonight is the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. I will not reread it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me begin by giving you a little context here. In Mark's gospel, a few chapters earlier, Jesus had sent out the 12 and had given them authority to cast out demons. Right before our text, Jesus then heads up on a mount with Peter, James, and John, and there he is transfigured right before their very eyes. And now it is Peter, James, John, and Jesus coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and they find the other disciples, at least the nine, if not more, arguing with the scribes. That's the context. They're arguing with the scribes because, well, the disciples were not able to deliver the boy from the demon. The scribes, by their very nature, if anything connected to Jesus, were always skeptical. Jesus, they rejected his authority, and their skepticism seemed to be reinforced by the fact that his very disciples, who he had given authority to, well, couldn't fix the boy. Couldn't get rid of the spirit that makes him mute. The boy's father describes his son's sporadic condition as a demonic possession. As the child is seized by a spirit, thrown to the ground with his body made rigid, while his mouth foams and grinds his teeth. One of the interesting things as you go through commentaries is some of our brothers in the ministry, and I'm not saying in the Missouri Synod, but in the ministry, have decided that this was not a demon possession at all, but rather a boy with a seizure issue. Well, there's one problem with that. Jesus heals him by getting rid of a demon. Let's just deal with the text. We prayed today. We actually prayed today in the church for this text. In the gradual that was read after the Old Testament reading and before the epistle reading, we prayed, "Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." We prayed this in the gradual to remind us that it is the Lord who delivers, not the disciples, not the pastor, and not some inner power within you. It is God who delivers us all, despite our doubts. So Mark gives us a rather graphic depiction of this kid, whose tongue and ears and body just are seized by this evil spirit and convulses him, causing him to roll around on the ground, throw himself into fire, into water. The poor boy, his body becomes rigid like a corpse. There is nothing this young boy can do to prevent this life-threatening predicament. His limbs and life roll around in the dust as one for whom death might just be relief. An act of mercy, if you will. At least that's what those who think like those with death with dignity people would think. Our culture of death would echo this voice, this ghoulish call. This is no way to live. Why, it would be even better if he had never been born. That seems to be the mantra of many today when they see somebody who is suffering. What a hollow and shallow view of the life that God created. God values this life so highly that he created it and he redeems it through the suffering of his only begotten son. Then we have to look at the poor father. He has watched his son since little on endure this demonic agony. Who has suffered more, the son or the father? The father is equally helpless to alleviate the suffering of his son, and we know this horrible, helpless feeling all too well, be it a child or a spouse, a parent who is suffering, those that we love, it's overwhelming when it affects us. Often praying that they were the ones suffering, the parent, the child, praying for the ones that they love, let me be the one that suffers instead of them. It can make people desperate as they are willing to look for help just about anywhere. Even leading some to be willing, well, to kill the youngest among us in hope of finding a cure, as they want to do with embryonic stem cell research. But the father here, his grasp at the straw is Jesus. He must have heard of his works, maybe even the works of his disciples, as they had gone out earlier to cast out demons themselves. And so he brings his son to Jesus' disciples. Remember, Jesus was a little busy with Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah on the mount. And you can perhaps visualize the disciples proudly stepping up and saying, "I got this." But this demon was apparently too strong for them. It appears that the disciples are a little disappointed. And Jesus comes forth and he asks, "What are you arguing with them?" Doesn't appear too interested in the boy to start off. He addresses the lack of faith. "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." Everyone there that day is part of this faithless generation. The father, the disciples, and the crowd. And we have joined them too, just as we confessed in our confession this evening. Just listen to their faithlessness. "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Why could we not cast it out?" In the absence of the Lord, the disciples' faith seems to be waning. Why would we have expected the Father's faith to be any better? And the scribes, well, they're just blatantly, openly hostile. Intentionally ignorant would be a term that Pastor Meyer used to use. Or not intentionally, entrenched ignorance. That was his term. Maybe you hear your own doubts echoed in the text. If God truly loves us, why does he allow fill in the blank? Right? Faith in Jesus the Christ as our Lord and Savior is the most essential thing in all the world. Not protection from earthly calamities, even though we will pray for those in North Carolina. Not good health, even though I wished I had it and you as well. Not even wealth, but God-given faith. For by the grace of God, a child in the womb can have it, and yet without the Holy Spirit, the wisest person on the earth is clueless of it. So in the midst of all this chaos, Jesus gives a lesson in faith. He responds to their doubters, "If I can, all things are possible for the one who believes." These words of Jesus open the Father's lips, and he repentantly cries out for mercy, "I believe, help my unbelief." Now it's interesting, amongst all the crowd of faithless people, there's one in the crowd who knows exactly what Jesus is capable of. He has no doubts about what Jesus is going to do. That's the demon in the boy. The boy is brought to Jesus and the demon tries to do his worst. Maybe they'll say, "Leave the boy alone." It immediately convulsed the boy and he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. But you see, his worst, Satan's worst, all that the world can bring's worst is only temporary for those who have faith in Jesus. So Jesus speaks to the demon. Doesn't ask its name. Doesn't want to shake hands with it or have tea. You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. All power and authority fail in comparison to Jesus. Even death has no strength in the presence of God incarnate. The crowd doesn't seem to know this yet. They think the boy is dead, that the demon had perhaps won. They don't yet understand that the Lord of life is in their midst. He is dead, they cry. But Jesus takes them by the hand and lifts them right up. This is good news, for this is a foreshadowing exactly of how our Lord will raise us up on the last day. You see, this boy is an illustration for us of before and after holy baptism. We are dead, and Jesus reaches down into our depth and raises us up to faith and gives us life eternal through faith in him. May we learn from our text to always trust Jesus' word and to receive his deliverance. Here today, Jesus speaks you clean. Your sins are forgiven you. He feeds you with his very body and blood. Take, eat, this is. Take, drink, this is. Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And our text is calling us to trust Jesus' words always, even when it corrects us as it does his own disciples. They asked, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but by prayer. As if they had forgotten the most essential part of the authority that they had been given to cast out demons was asking God to do it. This is Jesus pointing them back to the source, to their ability to do any works that they did. This happens to us also, especially when we're in the middle of chaos, when we're in the worst of whatever the devil, the world, and our own flesh can bring to us. Instead of prayer being our first response, it often becomes our afterthought. So may we hear our Lord's rebuke tonight, the rebuke of our lack of faith, and join our voices with the repentant Father, I believe, help my unbelief. And let us learn to rely on God for all that we need, as Jesus taught us to pray with confidence for forgiveness, for food, for fortification against the devil. Right? Forgive us our trespasses. Give us this day our daily bread, and deliver us from evil. You see, so let us never forget that Jesus has given you his all-powerful word. And on that all-powerful word, he has promised that he will never leave you or forsake you in this life or the next. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.